Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. I had my, my 6 p.m. coffee, so good. I'm raring to go.
Ready to go. Well, that's good, because this is a racing podcast, not a coffee podcast, although that would be interesting.
I could do maybe 2 episodes of a coffee podcast, and that would exhaust my coffee knowledge.
Yeah. Yes,
the AeroPress episode, and then everything else.
Everything else, yes. All right, so let's talk about some racing, because this is, after all, a racing podcast, as previously stated. Moving into some paddock news, we've actually got some more this week.
Finally.
More driver market news and other market news. So Isaac Hadjar has been announced to be the second Red Bull driver, or first. I guess they could make Verstappen the second driver, right?
That seems to be the trend. Like, Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton both really like that neon yellow on top of their roll hoop.
Yes.
I guess what it's called, yeah. So, maybe it's the in thing. I don't really understand it, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Hadjar to Red Bull. And then Arvid Lindblad, who is currently an F2 driver, will be moving to RB to replace Hadjar, which means Tsunoda is now without a seat, and his only hope is Alpine.
I believe he is staying on as the technical testing and
backup
driver for Red Bull. Yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
He's staying in the family, but he'll never see the light of day.
Okay, so they're doing an Albon.
They're doing a Bottas, yeah. Or an Albon, Bottas, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that means he's going to Williams in a year, right?
See you later, bud. Bro's being sent to the backmarker teams in 2 years. Go to Cadillac. Exactly. Go to Williams.
Oh, boy.
Where can we put this guy?
Hey, Cadillac's not going to be a backmarker team. We're not putting
that
into the world.
We can't speak that evil.
Don't speak
that
evil. They've got to
be bottom midfield. Please, just let them be bottom midfield.
Please.
Let them be better than Aston Martin.
I want them to be Haas, but better.
Yeah. Better than Haas might be asking for a lot, but Haas has been doing kind of good this year.
Yeah.
But it is regulations change, so we probably have 2 years of them being bad again before they get back into the midfield. So
I mean, Cadillac has a lot more resources than Haas.
That is fair.
So they've also got Andretti completely behind them with all of their racing experience.
They've got that dog in them.
Yes, they do. In other news, Adrian Newey was announced.
I don't want to be involved in the paperwork, Newey.
Is now the team principal of Aston Martin Racing. I don't know if it's immediate or if it's... I think it's starting next year, I believe.
It's got to be next year.
Yeah. So Adrian Newey will be the new team principal at Aston Martin. I think he's still on the Red Bull payroll, so I don't think he can actually do it this season. I think so.
I thought last year was gardening leave.
Was it?
Pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, because he'd be developing the 26 car.
He's been developing car, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, regardless... we don't know who the technical director is at Aston Martin now, unless he's doing both, which he could be, but that seems like a lot.
That'd be insane. I couldn't imagine it. But, you know, I mean, surely he's done crazier things before. I've read his book.
Adrian Newey was not who I was expecting to be the team principal at Aston Martin. That was, like, so far out of... Yeah, that's crazy. I'm honestly really surprised that they didn't get Christian Horner, but... Anyway, that is our paddock news for the week. Let's move into the Qatar Grand Prix.
Ooh, wait, we have one more.
Oh, we have more?
Stingray Rob
is
back.
He
never left.
Racing, yes.
Yeah, he's still there. Yeah, truly the Latifi of IndyCar.
So bad, but getting rehired somehow. Yeah.
He's got that money behind him. He's got that Prey.com money.
Yeah, man. Those Idaho-born drivers. They got the big potato money behind them.
Big potato and big onion are big into Stingray Rob.
Yes, indeed. All right, Qatar Grand Prix. Let's move into the sprint qualifying because it was a sprint race weekend.
More like the nap qualifying, am I right? Got him.
Yeah, we'll get there. Oscar Piastri was on pole position, followed by Russell and Norris. Fourth and fifth were Alonso and Tsunoda, 6-10. Where Verstappen, Antonelli, Sainz, Leclerc, and Albon. Lewis Hamilton qualifying 18th. Rough. Moving into the race, let's go through all the highlights of the sprint race. Piastri maintained the lead at the start, and Verstappen passed Tsunoda and Alonso by turn three. Let's move into the results of the 19-lap race. Wish I was joking.
Yeah, that was literally it.
The I watched the highlight video on the F1 YouTube channel for the sprint race. Every single time, every highlight video, it's always a crisp 8 minutes long.
This one was six and a half.
Yeah, like 6 minutes and 20 seconds or something. They couldn't even milk 8 minutes out of it. And they spent half of it on like team radio and stuff.
Yeah. Surely anyway. Sprints are still a good idea.
Results of the race, Oscar Piastri won, followed by Russell and Norris. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Tsunoda. Sixth through 10 were Antonelli, Alonso, Sainz, Hadjar, and Albon. 10 through 15 were... No, wait, hold on. Yeah, 11 through 15 were Bortoleto, Behrman, Leclerc, Lawson, and Ocon. 16 through 20 were Hülkenberg, Hamilton, Gasly, Stroll, and Colapinto.
Wow, the order almost changed.
Almost changed, yeah.
From qualifying, that's crazy.
Moving into qualifying for the race, Oscar Piastri once again on pole position, followed by Lando Norris in second this time, and Max Verstappen in third. George Russell was in fourth, and Antonelli was in fifth. 6 through 10 were Hadjar, Sainz, Alonso, Gasly, and Leclerc. 11 through 15 were Hülkenberg, Lawson, Behrman, Bortoleto, and Albon. 16 through 20 were Tsunoda, Ocon, Hamilton, Stroll, and Colapinto.
Lewis Hamilton with
another 18th
disqualification.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Wild times.
Bro just...
He's having a rough year, man.
Yeah.
And it's only getting worse.
Yeah. And it's only going to get worse, surely. Yeah. There's no way Ferrari comes out ahead on
this. What do you want to bet that Hamilton just up and retires at the end of this year rather
Sebastian
than going
Vettel
through
style?
another year of Ferrari?
No, he'll stay for the reg changes because there's a chance that everybody...
There's a chance.
I don't think Ferrari will get it right, but I think Ferrari might be banking on a chance that everybody else gets it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that they could maybe be top of the midfield team next year.
Their only chance is if they have the best engine. Otherwise, I don't think they have a shot.
Yeah.
That's the only chance they have. And I think that's possible because of all of their success in prototype racing.
Well, if we're going by that, then Cadillac's... Cadillac next year,
also
so.
Has a chance. Well, I mean, Ferrari's won Le Mans the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving into the race. Verstappen passed Norris at the start. Gasly and Hülkenberg hit each other on lap 7, ending Hülkenberg's race and causing a safety car. Everybody pitted under the safety car except for the McLarens.
And Lance Stroll,
apparently.
Yep.
Piastri pitted on lap 24, and Norris pitted on lap 25. Piastri chased down Verstappen for the rest of the race, but was unable to catch him, and Norris was able to make his way back up to P4 by the end of the race, thanks to a mistake by Antonelli. Curses.
Mm-hmm.
Verstappen would have had, like, a real, real good shot. Now, I don't think it's very likely.
No?
I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see. We all know how well Lando Norris handles pressure. results. Max Verstappen won the race, followed by Piastri and Sainz on the podium, the Williams boy.
Incredible.
The smooth operator himself. Fourth and fifth were Norris and Antonelli. 6 through 10 were Russell, Alonso, Leclerc, Lawson, and Tsunoda. 11 through 15 were Albon, Hamilton, Bortoleto, Colapinto, and Ocon. 16th rounding off the finishers was Gasly, and our four retirements were Stroll, Hadjar, Behrman, and Hülkenberg.
I didn't even notice that Lance Stroll retired, to be honest.
I didn't either. It was two laps before the end of the race, but yeah.
What? That's crazy.
See, I remember Hadjar had a puncture, but apparently
yeah.
Stroll retired after that.
What?
Which I thought that
I
was like on the last lap.
Missed
but...
that, yeah.
Anyway, McLaren, moving into our talking points, completely botched their strategy. Like, they got it so wrong. Like, I could see them leaving Oscar out and then pitting Norris after they saw that Max pitted.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
That would be
they were the only
a driver. That's scary.
Really, really not. It's more just the situation. But
no, we should pit both of our drivers into traffic after
yeah,
everybody else
twice.
Has already pitted. Yeah.
Let's pit them into traffic twice.
Yeah, because surely we want to give the other drivers an extra 7 laps to be able to...
On fresh tires
to gain positions before pitting our drivers on a notoriously difficult to pass circuit.
Yes.
With high tire drag, where it won't really matter anyways. So
yeah, Yeah, it was kind of insane.
Cue the McLaren's favorite driver is Max Verstappen.
Nice.
Allegations.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the championship battle is very much on now.
It's gotten worse.
It's gotten so much worse. Lando Norris is in first place at 408 points. Max Verstappen in second at 396.
He was 104 points behind at...
like three races ago?
Like six races ago, yeah.
Not even, yeah. Oscar Piastri is at 392. So that means there is a 12-point gap between Norris and Verstappen and a 16-point gap between Piastri and Norris. So essentially what that means is if Max Verstappen finishes first in Abu Dhabi and Lando Norris finishes fourth or lower, Verstappen will win the championship. This also means that if Lando Norris finishes third or better, he will win the championship. Oscar Piastri has to beat Max Verstappen. He has to win the race. And Lando has to finish lower than, I believe, it's either sixth or seventh.
Maybe it's seventh?
I think it's seventh, because I think sixth would get him like within 1 point.
Yeah. So Oscar Piastri, I think, is out at this point.
Basically out of it, barring a Lando Norris crash. And then it's just a race with Verstappen.
Yeah, but then it's him versus
point.
Max Verstappen.
And with a championship on the line, my money will be on Verstappen every time. Which we'll get into when we get into our predictions. But
absolutely wild, though.
This is legitimately, I no longer think that there is a greater than 50% chance that Lando wins this.
Like, it would be so easy for him
to
come in fourth.
I think Lando has
We've
the highest chance. I think Lando has the highest chance to win, but I think it's less than 50%.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he's like 40 to 45%. Max is around the same, and then Oscar's like that extra 10%.
Yeah, no, that's... It's incredible. And Max even says in interviews, like, as Red Bull, we didn't win this championship if we won it.
Yeah,
McLaren lost it.
Yeah, so wild.
Snatching.
And he's like, yeah, if I was in that car, this wouldn't have happened.
Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. I don't know if that would happen, though, because he would still have to contend with McLaren pit wall.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Can you imagine Max Verstappen dealing with papaya rules?
Well, just think about it. Like, Max has done this in a car that was a tractor for the first half of the season. Probably the worst car for at least the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, but Red Bull's strategy has been so on top of it, and that makes such a huge difference. Whereas McLaren seems to actively be trying to ruin both of their drivers' chances at the same time.
What if we did a Ferrari?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ferrari actually...
Like, well, you can't out-Ferrari us.
Well, so Ferrari actually understands like prioritizing a driver in order to help one of them definitely win.
Yeah.
Instead of making sure neither of them win.
Yeah.
And McLaren seems to be trying to stay so magnanimous that they are ruining both their drivers' chances.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think this probably should have been decided, I don't know, six races ago, summer break.
Summer
you see
break,
how far
yeah.
ahead one of your drivers is and say, okay, that's the best chance.
Well, think about this, though. At the end of the summer break, Oscar Piastri was like 30 points ahead in the championship.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. They would have backed Piastri, and none of this would have happened. And then Piastri just went off a cliff after Baku.
I guess. Well, yeah. Maybe he wouldn't have.
Maybe he wouldn't have.
Who knows? That's why I'm not a driver strategist or a team principal.
Yep. The championship is very much on, even though we've ruled Verstappen out of this thing like three times now.
Yep.
I
do feel comfortable saying that Mercedes has second place in constructors.
Yes.
It would Antonelli's be
an absolute miracle if Red Bull beat them. I mean, that would mean Verstappen would have to win and Tsunoda would have to be like top five.
And Mercedes would have to DNF both drivers.
Mercedes would have to have double DNF. So.
It's not so all over. The only real room to move around is, well,
Aston Martin
not going to make any.
Racing Bulls, but that's not
Haas could pass Aston
Haas
Martin.
Could pass
I think
Aston
that's
Martin
the only thing that could happen.
With a good race. If you get some crazy Bordoletto insanity,
Or Hulkenberg.
Or Hulkenberg
does really well, and Ocon gets a penalty or crashes or something.
Yep. Williams with signs this podium did officially secure P5.
Top five for Williams is crazy. Did they come in top five last year?
No, I think they were last year.
What? They weren't last.
Then, no, Alpine was last.
Yeah, because Alpine is still a team.
It must have been like seventh or something.
Sixth or seventh.
We can go to revhang.com, and there's this fancy button that will take you to the historical.
Historical. It even loads up so fast.
Yes, it loads up. Thanks, Squarespace. Not a sponsor, but you could be. I probably could actually make
them sponsor everyone.
You probably just go click a button on their website. Yeah. And like, we'll give you money. 2024. Williams was ninth.
They were really bad last year.
They were really bad last year. That's right.
Huh. Okay.
Well, I mean, who was their team? That was Albon, Sargent, and Colapinto.
I remember now. Yes. That's right. Man, 2024 was a long time ago.
It really
was. It's almost 2026. We're recording this on the second day of December. And, man, November went by so fast.
It really did. And December will go by very fast. Mm-hmm. And we need to wrap up, hold on, the season. Let me look at some dates here because, oh boy.
Indeed.
You know what I'm thinking about already. So the season review podcast will either come out right after the Abu Dhabi episode, or it will come out like a month later.
How fast can you write a script?
I can write that script. I just don't know if I have time. I've got a lot to do because there's a lot in my personal life going on.
Yes.
And then I've got a knee surgery on the 15th.
Oh, wow. You'll have plenty of time to write it then, right? You won't be high. I would love to see the high off painkillers.
The oxycodone script. Yeah.
The oxycoded script, more like. Got him.
Exactly. I guess we could do. That'd be fun. I write the script, and then we wouldn't be able to do it in person because I won't be able to drive or anything. Mm-hmm. But we could do the remote thing.
Right.
And so I'll just be high on painkillers, and we can record an episode.
There we go.
That sounds amazing. That'll we'll have something. Ben lead it, and I'll just chime in with all of my goodness.
We'll reverse it. Nathan will be the one constantly interrupting instead of me.
We interrupt each other a lot. It's a thing.
Yeah, but at least you stay on topic.
That's fair. Yeah, the oxycodone will fix that. Anyway, let's move on to the Pit Stop Championship. In first place this week was Oscar Piastri with a time of 2.08 seconds.
There were some blinding fast pit stops.
It said like he got like 1.8.
It said 1.8.
Yeah, that was a Piastri pit stop. I don't know what happened, but maybe the stopwatches were broken. I trust these numbers more than the live ones, though.
Yeah.
Followed by Lando Norris and Isaac Hadjar, fourth and fifth were Bortoleto and Behrman, 6-10 were Verstappen, Lawson, Sainz, Alonso, and Antonelli. I forgot to mention this. I think it was either last week or the week before. It must have been the week before because Leclerc was like last. Charles Leclerc is the official champion of the world when it comes to pit stop championships.
He's had consistently the fastest pit stops across the entire season.
Yuki Tsunoda and Lewis Hamilton are still neck and neck for second place, but Tsunoda is just barely ahead at 243 with Hamilton at 240. Oscar Piastri will officially be getting fourth place. If he wins next week and Hamilton does not get any points, then he'll get third.
I don't think. Well, it might.
It could happen.
It actually could happen, yeah.
Hamilton could throw in the towel before his first pit stop.
the winningest Ferrari driver in the seat decides to crash out at Abu Dhabi. Wait, no. Kimi Raikkonen was racing for Alfa Romeo at that point, but
I think so.
Okay. Unregard. Never mind.
Unregard. Pit Stop Championship, the constructors, which I forgot to sort, which actually does make a difference. Ferrari's still obviously the champion. McLaren is now in third with 385. RB is in second with 363. And Red Bull is in third with 353. Mercedes is squarely McLaren in second, RB in third, Red Bull in fourth.
Yep.
Mercedes in fifth, Sauber in sixth. There's a lot of like large gaps.
Yeah.
In the like lower midfield. It goes 385 to 240. No, it goes 353 to 249 to 193 to 99 to 66 to 52.
Those are some abysmal pit stops.
Yeah.
Especially considering one of those teams with the worst pit stops consistently is also top five in the championship right now.
Yeah. Williams used to be like up there, always with the best pit stops.
Well, they had to. Their cars were so slow.
Right. And then this year, they're just not. They've
fallen off.
But they've got a better car, so that's actually made a bigger difference.
Yeah.
Overtake of the week, I gave this to Nico Hülkenberg for his overtake on Charles Leclerc on lap two of the race. I'm sure there were better overtakes during the F2 races. I could not be bothered to watch more Qatar.
Yes, please give me more Qatar Grand Prix, everyone says.
It's quickly becoming one of my least favorite circuits that they go to.
I love watching the Qatar Grand Prix. I can't wait to do it for the next 8 years.
What if we took a track, gave it no distinct features, made it completely flat, and impossible to overtake anybody?
And also,
that'll be
the
great
tire
TV.
Dig was so high that
we forced a pit stop strategy.
Essentially forcing teams to double stack every pit stop.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Make it so that if they pit on lap 7, they have no choice but to pit on lap 32 or whatever it is.
Take away all the strategy out of it.
Yeah.
No, and also make it impossible to pass.
Yeah. It's wild. So going into our predictions, Qatar Grand Prix, to remind everybody the top five, it was Verstappen, Piastri, Sainz, Norris, and Antonelli. Ben, what was your top five?
I did have Verstappen in first. I did have Norris in second, so that wasn't great. Antonelli in third, Russell in fourth, and Sainz in fifth. I at least had him placing top five. I did not think he was going to get podium. And I had Hadjar as my dark horse, who was having a decent race, I think, until he had a puncture and had to retire.
Yeah, he was like P6, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember giving you grief about putting Sainz in fifth, like not even as your dark horse, and now I feel bad about that.
Yeah, I should have gone all in.
Should have gone all in. He made Sainz the winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year. I had Verstappen followed by Norris and Leclerc. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Piastri. My dark horse was Ollie Bearman, who did not have a great race.
Rough.
In fact, he had a 10-second stop-and-go penalty for a horrible pit stop gone wrong. Not his fault. It was wild. Anyway, fastest lap went to Oscar Piastri. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Lando Norris.
I had George Russell. Driver of the day went to Max Verstappen. What'd you say?
I had Kimi Antonelli for this one.
I had Max Verstappen once
there
again.
There you go.
I just keep picking Verstappen and people keep voting for him.
The clock is always right, at least twice.
But you'll never guess who I put as my driver of the day this week. All right.
Who could it be?
Top five for Abu Dhabi, the grand finale. Thank goodness. I mean, I love F1, but boy, this was a long season.
It's such a long season. It makes me really like the IndyCar 18 race season.
18 races.
It's
it feels
summer,
perfect.
Summer and then
IndyCar feels like it ended like years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like IndyCar is just
I don't even remember who drives for IndyCar anymore.
I know Alex Palou and Joseph Newgarden are two of the drivers and that's about it.
Yeah.
Stingray Rob, because who could forget?
Yeah.
Nico's Hollinger could never. Colton Herta, he exists.
He's not an IndyCar
driver
anymore.
He's not an IndyCar anymore. He's an F2 now. Oh,
crazy.
That's so weird.
Congratulations, Colton Herta. You also have 24 races a season now.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways, the results.
Top five
what
for
I think,
Abu Dhabi. What do you
yeah.
got?
I'm putting it at Verstappen, Norris, Antonelli, Piastri, Russell, and Hülkenberg as my dark horse. This would mean Norris does win the championship.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've got Verstappen, Piastri, Antonelli, Norris, and Russell with Hadjar as my dark horse.
Interesting. So crucially, yours does not have
Mine
Norris.
Does not have Norris winning,
the championship,
but rather Verstappen winning the championship in a tie with Norris and winning on race win countback.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
So here's the thing. I don't know if I actually believe this. I just know that Norris is the most notorious choke artist of all time.
Yeah.
And I think he's... I put him fourth. I legitimately don't think he's going to finish this race.
What? Do you think he's going to DNF? I think
he's either going to get, like, first or second, or he's going to DNF.
Because you think he's going to overdrive?
Yeah, he's going to absolutely overdrive.
That's crazy.
I'm almost certain. Unless he comes out of turn one in the lead, I don't think he's going to win the championship.
Wow. Okay.
But that is
bold words from Mr. McLaren fan over here.
I'm also Mr. Pessimist.
So there you go. I can't help it after being a McLaren fan for so long.
McLaren fan, Duck fan. It's all pain over here. Mariners fan. I've never won anything in my life. My teams have never won anything.
Were you a Seahawks fan too?
No, I'm not. I don't like the NFL, but
fair enough. I might start to like the NFL again because the Patriots are winning again.
There you go.
My dad and I were always Patriots fans. Not bandwagoners. We just liked the colors, and I like Rob Gronkowski.
Fair. I grew up a Patriots fan because my mom was, and my mom was before Tom Brady. So, like, she was also not a bandwagon fan. My dad, like, I don't even know. My dad was never really a fan of any... My dad was a big Eagles fan for a while. And then he became a Chargers fan when Justin Herbert went to the Chargers. I've always kind of been a Broncos guy. And, like, Packers. When I was younger, it was Steelers and Patriots. I don't really have a favorite team because we're like, nobody represents us, Ben.
We got nothing.
We got nobody here. So, I don't really watch the NFL. I'll watch the Super Bowl every year, but I'm not watching every
week. More like a chance to get together with other people and
eat
food and watch the fun, bright commercials and all that stuff.
It's weird because I love football. I sit down on Saturdays and I watch, no joke, 8 to 10 college football games.
That's insane.
But on Sundays,
nothing.
I'm watching Formula One. That is my life. Anyway.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Fastest lap.
Fastest lap. What do you got?
I had Norris for this one.
I had Antonelli. Driver of the day. What do you got?
Max Verstappen.
I also have Max Verstappen. I see you've learned. You've learned your lesson.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Our brackets actually look pretty similar.
Very similar.
The only difference actually is we're swapping Norris and Piastri.
Which changes the entire championship.
Yeah, yes. Which I think is pretty funny actually.
That's actually awesome.
Really shows our outlook on life.
Yeah. I will be happy if either Lando or Verstappen win. I think it would be so cool for Lando to win because I think this is the only chance he'll ever have. Because I'm such a pessimist.
Yeah.
At the same time, this would be such a monumentally legendary comeback if Verstappen won this championship.
Yeah, he could lead next year.
He would literally like cement himself like in the conversation forever with GOAT status if he won this championship.
Yeah.
I already think he's there in terms of pure skill level. I don't know. But anyway, I'm probably biased because he's the driver of our generation. All right, words of wisdom, Ben.
Yes.
What do you got for us this week?
Yes. So, if any of you are married or in a committed relationship, you don't have to be married to have anniversaries and stuff like that. But if you do celebrate anniversaries with your significant other, I would say it's very important. Like, flowers are kind of a typical thing you do, and like, sure, other people do not flowers and stuff like that. But flowers are, you know, pretty traditional, and girls like flowers and all that stuff. But the important thing to remember is, especially if your anniversary day falls on a work night, is to call ahead to a florist and have a bouquet prepared so that you can just pick it up on your way home or have it delivered to your house in advance, because trying to find a florist that is open after 6 p.m. is quite difficult.
Yeah.
luckily, I was actually able to get to the florist in Junction City. With 15 minutes to spare, and I walked in and I said, "Hey, I need a bouquet for my wedding anniversary. Can you help me?" And the old guy behind the counter was, "Usually we call ahead for those." And I was like, "Yes, I'm aware. However, I did not. Can you help me?" And he was very gracious, even though he was 15 minutes from closing. We had a very nice bouquet. But yeah, that's my words of wisdom is make sure that just call ahead. It's so much easier.
The guy at that flower shop, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
I caught him playing online poker.
Oh.
Right before close.
And you made him
stay up late, probably. Yeah, I ripped him away from his game.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, he delivered flowers to my wife.
Oh, nice.
I didn't buy the flowers, but her parents bought them for her, which makes me sound like a horrible husband. But it was her graduation present from her parents. It was a bouquet of flowers, and she loved them. Anyway, the guy dropped them off at the house. He was a very nice guy. Not a sponsor, but it could be. The Flower Gallery in Junction City.
There you go.
Well, I guess we've just advertised you, so there you go. Also, online poker at Poker Stars. No. not a sponsor. Don't want to get sued. All right. Ben, this is the usual segment where we would throw in Craigslist Pick of the Week, but
we have bigger fish to fry, Nathan.
I have been informed that we have bigger fish to fry, and I already see the first one that you're looking at, and I will tell you right now, my wife says no.
What? No. I just want to go through it. I want to go through the options just in case there are other viewers in your... We're going to play Ben's Car Matchmaker.
This is a legitimately great option. Also, can we throw like a Corolla XSE in there?
A regular Corolla?
GR is like 40 grand.
No, because the Honda Civic Hybrid is better than the Corolla in every conceivable way.
I sat in a Corolla the other day. It's very comfortable. Like, the seats are so comfortable.
I will tell you, though, you can get a Corolla Hybrid with all-wheel drive, but the Corolla Hybrid makes almost 100 less horsepower than the Civic Hybrid.
Okay.
I think. Let me look it up.
They all use CVTs, so it doesn't matter.
Actually, no. It's different. Let me tell you.
Oh, boy. That's going to school me.
Honda's hybrid systems, I think, are better than Toyota's hybrid systems because Toyota uses a parallel hybrid system, which means that the gas and electric motors are blending through a transmission or a clutch or whatever you want to call it to send power to whatever wheels are being driven, unless it's an all-wheel drive car, in which case they put a super weak electric motor in the back that's not connected to the engine or the front wheels in any way, which I think is the worst way to do all-wheel drive, but it's great for fuel economy. Honda does it, so they also have in their all-wheel drive cars independent rear motor, but the front motor is also, it's a series hybrid essentially. So the gas
motor. We should explain what we're doing first, because we've just gone off on this discussion without framing this at all.
Yes, team up, and I'll have my stuff ready for you.
I am in the market for a car, and Ben's Craigslist Pick of the Week is fantastic, but I'm going to buy a new car so that I know the car's history, because that has bitten me more than two times, not knowing the car's history. So I am buying straight from zero. Don't care that it's a poor financial decision, because you can't buy peace of mind. Actually, you can. That's why I'm doing it. So new car. My budget is in the neighborhood of $30,000. Ben is going to be playing Car Matchmaker with me.
Have you ever seen Spike's Car Matchmaker or listened to Everyday Driver? Because that's essentially
what we're doing here.
I'm doing right now.
Yes. So I've given Ben two of my front runners, which he already has pulled up because they are obvious picks as front runners. Because he knows me and he knows I like sports cars and that I like manuals. But also, if the perfect car comes along and it's not a manual, that's fine, I guess.
There are some good automatics and paddle shifters.
Yeah, but CVTs. They've gotten better. When we get
to it, I will explain why I think certain brands. CVT transmissions, or at least non-traditional transmissions.
Nissans is horrible, are acceptable. Right?
Yeah, Nissans are miserable. I personally think Toyotas are miserable, but let's just go into the options. Obviously, the first two that you brought up to me were the GR86 and the Honda Civic Si. So you've owned a Honda Civic Si before, right?
And getting rid of it was the worst mistake I've ever made in my entire life.
You had a 2017?
Right? Yes, I had a 2017. I think the new Civic Si's with the replaced rear tail lights are some of the sickest looking cars that have come out in the last five like years. These? If you look at the V2 version of those taillights, oh baby. Because those taillights are kind of ugly, I think.
Okay.
But the 2025 Civic taillights V2. Look at the smoked out version of these taillights.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
It looks like an Audi almost. Is that not sick?
That is kind of cool. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a big red taillights kind of guy.
Well, you can get those too. Like that. But that's, I mean,
I see what that you're looks saying, so though. Sick, yeah, though. The full LEDs.
Yeah. That's what I would do is I would buy this car and I would get the new taillights.
Yeah, so.
I can't afford a Type R as much as I'd love a Type R.
No, we can't afford a Type R. the pros of the Honda Civic Si. Reliability.
Absolutely.
You know, it's proven.
Yes. It's a Honda Civic.
It's front wheel drive, so you know it's
that's the downside.
It is the downside, or it could be an upside. You know, it drives a lot like the car that you have right now, which is a Mazda Speed 3.
Yes.
It does have better dynamics for like driving in the snow. However, you do have
a better differential.
Does it really?
Yeah, the differential's way better on the Civic.
Oh, interesting.
100%. Less power.
Yeah. Less power. Oh yeah, you do have to go up in the options in order to get the LSD for the GR86, don't you?
I don't know. Probably.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might bring it a little bit out of your price range.
Yeah.
Loads of room. The Honda Civic Si only comes as a sedan now. Which
sucks, but yeah, that's fine.
You probably would have gotten it as a sedan anyways, right? Or would you have gotten it as a coupe?
I probably would have gotten it as a coupe, but that's why I'm glad that sedan is my only option.
Yes. Yeah.
Because a sedan makes more sense for me in my upcoming life. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense for you know, partners and everything's understood. Honda has a great 6-speed transmission.
Oh yeah, it's so good. Best transmission.
I really like Honda interiors.
This interior is so much nicer than the 27th, the last gen.
Yep.
Oh, it's so much nicer.
They've gotten a lot better. And
wireless
the standard
CarPlay and Android Auto.
The standard equipment is great. It has heated seats, power moonroof.
They added heated seats to the Si's, which is so great.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's probably one of the more practical. I will jump from this jumping off point to the Honda Civic Hybrid, which same form factor. Yes. It comes with a hybrid system instead of the, you know, all the sporty stuff.
Is it the same 1.5 liter engine? Or it's probably two. It's probably
it's a liter. Different 1.5 liter engine. So this 1.5 liter engine is an Earth Dreams Atkinson cycle.
Okay.
It's essentially a generator. It's what they use in all their hybrids. It makes about 180 horsepower total system output, which is actually,
it's not bad,
a 180 horsepower motor.
Yeah,
it's a serious hybrid. So the engine mainly acts as a generator for the motor.
So is this plug-in?
No, it's not hybrid plug-in. Only.
It's full hybrid. Okay.
Full hybrid, and it will kick in through a clutch, the motor over about 45 miles an hour.
Okay.
To supplement power, as needed. As you accelerate, like on highways and stuff like that. Otherwise, it is...
Is all electric then?
Well, the generator, the motor, which is better described as a generator,
yeah,
will run like a normal hybrid would.
Okay.
To send power to the battery pack, which will send power to the motors pretty consistently while you're driving.
Yeah.
The benefit is that you don't need a CVT because it's just a generator.
Oh.
So you don't have a CVT. The only really transmission in there is the clutch between the motor and the wheels that jumps in just in case you need the extra power on highway speeds.
Right.
Otherwise, it's all electric motor being run by a generator powering the battery pack.
That's kind of insane, actually. That's really cool.
Yeah, so it helps with the reliability.
So it
there.
Would kind of drive like an electric car.
It would, yes. Pretty much.
That's... This is a good second option for me, then. If I'm going to get an automatic...
Wow. It's much quieter than Toyota's hybrid system because the engine isn't running in parallel to run the tires. It's running at a single consistent RPM all the time, pretty much, below 45 miles an hour. Once you get the highway speeds, you'll get a little bit of rev out of it. But for the most part, it will be running at a single consistent quiet RPM. There's no weird rubber banding.
Yeah. So, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's why I like the Honda hybrids a lot better. It's a similar amount of horsepower to the Honda Si.
It's
slower
really
because it has the battery and hybrid pack, but it gets like 50 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, that's That's pretty good. Well, okay, the SI gets 37 on the highway.
This is, yeah. So it still gets pretty good gas mileage. Just gets astronomical gas mileage.
Yes.
Anyway. Oh, and I guess this is a 2-liter motor for the
2-liter, yeah,
hybrid, but everything still stands.
ECVT transmission.
ECVT. They call it an ECVT because it's easier for people to understand.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a CVT at all.
It's not even close, yeah.
Yeah. So 50 in the city, 47 on the highway for fuel economy.
Wow, 50. Oh, yeah, because it'd be electric below 45 or whatever you said.
Yeah. Most of the time. Motor's just running at a really low RPM.
That's crazy that city mileage is better than highway.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, because you're getting the regen too.
Right.
Yeah, it's also slightly cheaper than the SI by about $4,000. But not as fun to drive. I mean, you still have the chassis dynamics, all that, but it is a heavier car, different differential, all that stuff. You don't have the manual, which is a bummer. It's not as interesting to drive, but it will be quiet and probably more reliable and lower cost of ownership. So that's the practical choice. My wild card choice, I know you said...
The
wife would never. However, for about the same price as a GR Corolla, the Mustang EcoBoost makes almost 100 more horsepower, gobs of torque, 10-speed auto. You can't really get it with a manual, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But the 10-speed auto is really good.
And I assume it has paddle shifters and everything.
It has paddle shifters, yep.
Yeah.
These are a favorite among autocrossers because they're so much lighter than the V8.
Mm-hmm.
This generation of Mustang, the steering is a little bit more numb than the last generation, which is a bit of a bummer, but you're still getting just an absolute rocket of a four-cylinder. The 2.3 is actually probably one of the more reliable motors that Ford's ever made.
Really?
I've heard really good things about it. And yeah, it would be faster. It might not be as much fun in the corners or on a twisty road without the manual and with the extra weight, but it will be faster. I think it'll be probably a little quieter just because it's a bigger car. A little more space inside, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my wild card pick. Plus, I like the styling of the Mustang better than the GR. Yeah. That's very subjective, though.
Yeah. But a Mustang GT.
Listen, neither of us is going to be able to afford a Mustang GT for a very long time. The cheapest Mustang GT you can get is almost $50,000. And, yeah, nobody has the money for that.
In this economy?
In this economy, yeah. There's also almost as much aftermarket for these as the GR Corolla.
Yeah.
And it is a newer platform, so...
I mean, really, Mustangs are... They're pretty reliable.
Yeah.
And they have been recently, at least. Like, they're not... They're pretty good now.
Yeah, and this is a very recent refresh, so you're getting... I think Ford's SYNC system is one of the best out there. Having used it in a couple different vehicles over longer trips before, the SYNC system is super fast, easy to use.
The SYNC system? Is that like the...
That's what they call their infotainment. Yeah. It has wireless Android Apple CarPlay.
Yeah.
Sort
of the Hondas.
Yep. Yeah, but I like the Ford infotainment better than the Hondas, yeah, having driven both of them.
That's fair. The GR86 is wired Android Auto.
Yes. And I think the motor Apple probably CarPlay sounds worse because boxer motors, I don't like how they sound. Okay, I would rather take a raspy, burbly inline four than a farty boxer. So that's my ramble on the EcoBoost Mustang, which I always thought have been really cool. But yeah, those are kind of the picks.
Those are the picks.
You don't have to choose now, but which one are you most interested by?
You, I think just by the conversation we've had just right now, already know which one I'm the most most interested in.
Yeah.
And it is the Honda Civic SI.
Okay, switching my tab.
Oh, you were thinking it was the hybrid? Yeah, it's not the hybrid. Oh. I think the hybrid is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is solidly fighting for second place,
mm-hmm,
with the GR86.
With the GR86, okay. Yeah.
The Honda Civic SI, so if you asked me this a week ago, 100% GR86.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing research. And I'm like, that's such a cool car. And I bet it would be so much fun to drive and a nightmare to own.
Yeah, double the heads means double the heads to go wrong.
Yeah. And so I think my current front runner would be the 2026 Honda Civic SI. 2026
Honda Civic SI. Okay. Interesting. Well, I guess we'll see when you get a new car, which one you get.
Yeah, we'll see. Have you seen the new Honda Prelude?
I have, yes.
That car looks insane.
It does look really good. I've heard that they're actually a lot of fun at slow speeds.
Yeah. Well, that's all they can do is slow speeds.
Yeah, it's essentially welcome back Honda CRZ.
Yeah.
Except there's no supercharger that you can get for this.
Yeah. Indeed. The new Prelude looks crazy.
It does look really good, though.
Yeah, I saw it, and I was like, oh, please tell me that it's not a hybrid, and then it was a hybrid. And then I was like, oh, please tell me that it's not, like, 45 grand. It's 45 yeah. grand.
I'm pretty sure it actually probably uses the same powertrain as this Honda Civic Hybrid.
Probably, yeah. It's just way smaller and lighter, and has the transmission that they have in the Type R, and all mm-hmm. the, or not the transmission, the suspension.
Yeah.
The Type R uses, and all the things.
Yeah, it's essentially the Civic Coupe Sport Hybrid that we never got.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Which, that would be a cool trend.
It looks so good. Oh my gosh.
A Honda Civic Sport Hybrid, where like you can get the Hybrid Civic, but with like the Sport suspension and some other stuff, like the SI suspension. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. Well, okay. That was interesting. I'm glad I got to just word vomit onto you about cars.
No, it was good. But that, the $30,000 question, love it.
Indeed.
That will do it for this episode of Rev Hang. Thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from Formula One, which there's only one race left, so you might as well check it out now. Head to our website at revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in one short week to talk about the Formula One finale in Abu Dhabi. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.